Fighters, it's time for the Thursday Q&A episode here on the Contractor Fight podcast. We take your questions and we answer them here on the show. Send your questions to help@thecontractorfight.com with the subject line podcast to get your questions in front of us. Tom and I will pick the questions that are the most relevant to the people here in the fight. You guys rock. Let's do this.
All right, everybody, what's going on? Hopefully we're live. All right. I believe I am. I got it all good here. Dan, what's going on, buddy?
Oh, things are great, Tom. Beautiful day. Getting ready for Nashville.
I know. I'm looking forward to hanging and seeing everybody and all that stuff. Looks like we got some people jumping on here. So, guys, we're going to do some quick just housekeeping here in the beginning. As you know, we come live every week, or not every week, but every week we have a Q&A episode on the Contractor Fight podcast. I don't know. Dan, what do we have? We have Monday Mojo. We got a Wednesday edition. We've got Thursday Q&A. We got Friday Fail. So we got four episodes a week, I think, right?
Correct. The only day is Tuesday. Although here we are. Although it's not released. Yeah.
Well, it's not officially released. So this is just as
behind the scenes.
Behind the scenes. There you go. You all get to see how dang organized we are when we pull it out of our ass every week. So anyway.
See how easy it is to put on a professional podcast.
There you go. Kyler, what's going on? Roz, how you doing? Good to see you. All right. Two of you who said, what's up, Tom and Dan? And yo, it just says Facebook users. And you know why it says that, you guys? Because you didn't follow the instructions. And you got to grant StreamYard.com/Facebook and give StreamYard permission to show your name. Now, maybe you did it on purpose. Maybe you just said, screw it. I don't want to know because I'm just going to heckle these guys, you know, which is
fair.
That's something I could see Bubba doing, you know. So anyway, I went into the Facebook group, Dan, and just pulled some questions that people had randomly asked. So I'm not going to share last names. I'll just say this, whoever, just a first name. We had a slow week of questions. And honestly, the ones we got, they kind of sucked. So we're not even going there. That's how it works, guys. Nick, what's going on? See, Nick followed instructions.
Yeah. Gold star.
Gold star Nick. All right. So I want to dig in. This is like a crazy time of year. Normally, I mean, Dan, you know this, that's going on behind the scenes of the fight right now.
Yeah, chaos.
And Guillermo, what's going on? He's on YouTube. Dan Wilson, good to see you. And it's not bad things. These are all good things. So I don't want to paint a picture like the sky is falling, but there's just so much going on in the Contractor Fight world that is absolutely mind-blowing to me, and I'm pretty excited about it. But one of the things I just want to throw out there, if somebody is a current member of our Shin Fu program or our 100K program, they pretty much know about this, but in case somebody doesn't, those programs are actually going away at the end of 2021. And January 1st, we're blending the two programs together into a new program called Battleground. And it's not going to be open right away to anybody who's not already in a program. So for those of you that are not in anything, this is going to be something that when we open it up early 2022, you're going to want to get in because we're basically blending all of our sales training, all of our business coaching programs all into one thing, making it way more kick-asser. So I'm excited about that. We got Nash Vegas coming. We're planning the Mile High Profit Summit in Denver for next fall again. We're literally already planning that and working on venues and food and beverage minimums and all that other stuff, which is crazy. I'll tell you what, man. You ever planned a big event, Dan?
Not before last year. That was...
Yeah, Dan's like, I planned a kegger party once, right?
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah, well, I really hadn't either. And to be quite honest, it was really Sherry, our event planner, and Neil
did it all. Both
planning. I would just weigh in every now and then, which is why it's great to have kick-ass people. So anyway, my friends, I see Nick and Bobby and Jake. I see the electrician on YouTube there. Guillermo, I said hi to. So, all right. So guys, we're going to dig in here. Dan, I got some questions. Some of these are more like somebody painted a situation. They put a situation in the group and they didn't even necessarily ask a question. But I think it'd be interesting if we weighed in on it because, you know, I know it's pretty common in a lot of these guys. So the first one I want to talk about, Nick posted in the Contractor Fight group. I'm not going to read the whole thing because it's super long. Basically, it says, time to own my shit. Zero to no marketing besides Angie's List. No to little social media presence. Bidding jobs randomly. Not paying myself an hourly wage. Not knowing my numbers. Not having a process for sales. And most of all, not answering the phone due to the overwhelming amounts of incoming sales from vendors. Vendor calls, like insurance and warranty calls and shit like that, right? So he doesn't want to answer his phone. And so right there, I just want to stop. And I'm like, this sounds like Tom year one of business right there. Mm-hmm. Hey, that was me. So Nick, there is hope. I can promise you that. So here's his questions. Some pointers I'm looking for. And dude, there's three questions he asked. I think three. Yeah. I'm just going to read the questions and you address anyone you want to address. Let's just do it that way.
Gotcha.
All right. Number one. Pointers I'm looking for, best leads for the money marketing strategy. Question two, he asked, is charging $188 per man hour realistic for residential? I have a 4-man crew. And question three, how do I base profit margin if I want to make $200K a year for the company? I use the Fight spreadsheet, just a bit confused.
All right. That makes two of us. The net, what I do on the net with using our worksheet is I put that into my overhead so that it's reclaimed on every job that I need to get. And that way, same as your salary, you're guaranteed that it's going to be there at the end of the year instead of hoping there's a pile of nickels somewhere sitting
for it. Yeah. The net profit the way I read this here was, I want to make 200 a year for the company. So I'm taking that as above and beyond the at least 100, 150 grand he's going to pay himself in his pocket. In his salary, which Bobby says, I'm not paying myself an hourly wage. I'm not a fan of you paying yourself an hourly wage, Nick, as an owner. You pay yourself an owner salary. Now I get it. If you're working in the field, you can take part of if you'd pay a foreman $30 an hour, you pay yourself that 30 for when you work on the job. Okay, whatever. That's getting into the weeds. But dude, I like you with the 200K, I identify how much money I want to keep and put in my pocket. I don't, and somebody else asked this question the other day. In a DM to me, one of our clients was like, hey, what net profit margin should I make my target for the year? And I don't do it that way. I know some people do. They're like, you know, the old standard in the trades is make a 10% net profit. I'm like, if I'm going to go out and slam my junk in the door every day for fucking 365 days, I'm going to make a hell of a lot more than 10%. And so a couple things I'm sharing with everybody here, just so we're on the same page. Net profit does not include what you pay yourself. It shouldn't. If on paper, right, because this happens a lot, you have your profit and loss sheet in the very bottom, it says net profit, 325 grand. And you're looking at your bank account going, I don't have 325 grand in the bank. That's because usually their QuickBooks and chart of accounts, whatever the hell it's called, because I don't even go in there. All right. Is all jacked up and you're paying yourself out of the net. You're not paying yourself a salary and all that other stuff. So guys, what we're talking about here is you need to pay yourself a salary that is equal to or greater than what you would make doing the same job in somebody else's company. That's the way I start with that. Okay. So if Dan hired me to come do everything I'm doing right now in my company and he was going to pay me X amount of dollars, that's what I would expect to pay myself from my company at least. And then net profit is above and beyond that. So I always start, Dan, I don't look at the percentage. I give a shit about the percentage. I set a money goal.
Yeah,
I'm like, all right, when all said and done, after I pay myself $750,000 this year in my pocket as a salary or whatever it's going to be, I want another $1 million in the bank, or I want another 500 grand in the bank or whatever it is, because so many guys are caught up on the going rate and 10% rule and all that other garbage. So that's that. Any other thoughts on that real quick?
On the net profit part? No, that kind of sums it up.
All right.
Leave anything to chance. Plan for it all to just be coming in.
Yeah. And this, you talk, what do we call it? The what to charge sheet. I think if you go to thecontractorfight.com/charge, yep. I think that's where y'all can get the sheet if you don't know what we're talking about. And I want to address his other question here. I'm blowing off his best leads for the money because I've done so much shit on that through the years. Just come through our stuff and find it. Bottom line is he owned all his shit at the top. He's got to dial some shit in with his marketing. And by the way, this is the time of year where you're seeing it, Dan, in the free Facebook group we have. You don't see it so much in our paid groups. Huh, wonder why. But anyway, in the free group, there's about 750 posts a day on my phone stopped ringing. Okay, it's winter time. I don't have any work. It was a great year. Blah, 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 blah. And you guys can hear it in my voice right now. You know, I'm about to fucking lose my shit right now. All right. Because you do this to yourselves every year, my friends. Now, Nick, pat on the back. You're owning your crap. Look in the mirror. But what the fuck are you going to do about it from now on? Okay. That's all I want to know. What are you going to do about it? Because I see that, Dan, you see, we've been in this long enough in the groups and all this other stuff. Year in and year out, you see the same dudes, the same names showing up with the same damn problem every year. Yep. And that's why I'm going to do less and less of responding to these marketing questions, because I put out more shit than anybody on the planet to help contractors get their heads out of their keisters and market their business. You need to build your damn brand. All right. So second question, everybody's like, oh boy. He also asked, is charging $188 per man hour realistic for residential? I have a four-man crew. Okay. Well, let me just answer this quick. I don't care. The math is the math. If you run your shit through the sheet, that's what you need to charge. It's that simple. So if you have four guys and it's a, let's round to $200 a man hour, that would mean you're charging $800 per hour for your company to show up and pick their noses or paint something or build something, period. So anyway, yeah, it's fuck realistic. It's the truth. What does the math tell you you need to charge? It's really that simple. So anyway, all right. I don't want to beat up that too much. All right. So got another question here. That's kind of another common type question.
Here we go.
I should have just blended them. All right. It's another sales question. Brant, what's going on? Good to see you. All right. Here it is, Dan. Somebody named Brandon. Not that Brandon.
Let's go.
said, what's a bigger slap in the face? Sending out an estimate and not getting any response, or sending an estimate and they respond by saying they're going to hire someone else. And this was another one. There were about 65 stupid comments. Anyway, I won't go into that. So, Dan, what's worse? Bigger slap in the face. Send the bid. No response. You're ghosted. Or you send the estimate and they respond saying they're going to hire somebody else.
I'll say ghosted just because that's just kind of rude. But you shouldn't be in that position. Again, as we circle back, like you should know. I've got thrown out of people's yards before, hung up on me when we get the price. And that's kind of the point of jumping on this early on. So I'm not typing the book at night of all these details and wasting my life doing this shit for somebody that's not my buyer. And yeah, so I don't think either of them are a slap in the face. They're both a slap in, I slap my own face if I'm in that situation because it means I didn't do my job.
Yeah, my first thought was it was self-imposed friendly fire, you know? Yep. And so Brandon, you're, again, and let me just, guys, I got to keep saying this because I don't want people to think for one second that Dan and I haven't been there and that we don't, you know, it's really easy when you hear somebody like this who's got the microphone, you know, telling y'all what to do and how to think and how to approach things. And if you think we're full of shit and have never been there, there's no credibility. But listen, read my book, you know, the chapter on sales, I start with the cattle call that I went on. Right. And there were, I don't know, seven or eight other damn contractors that showed up and we were all like, moo, 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 can we have your job? Moo. You know, and then I spent all this time at a coffee shop typing up the most beautiful bid in the world and all this other garbage. All right. And so we've been there. So Brandon, the point is, like Dan said, you've kind of brought this on yourself because you just sent the estimate. We don't send estimates. I say we, meaning the way we teach it and coach it in our sales training. Nobody ever gets anything written up ever until they already know what it's going to cost and they've already committed to doing the project. Or for some other trades like GCs and remodelers or big landscape projects, or they've committed to a design fee. Okay. And this is not about charging for estimates. There's a lot of people that talk about charging for estimates. I'm not talking about charge. We don't charge for estimates. Okay? The estimates are free. The estimate is an approximation. So Brandon, the conversation should have been, if Dan were your customer and you're about to send the bid, when you're at the house, in the yard, on the phone, whatever it is, hey, Dan, you know, a project like this is going to run somewhere between, I don't know, $5,000 and $8,000. What do you think our next move is here?
Yeah. And then I'll tell you, either pound sand or write it up or hone in the price a little bit, whatever.
Yeah, that sounds okay. And then, but let's say Dan goes, yeah, that sounds good. Okay, well, let's pretend I come back and it's $7,500, Dan. What's going to happen next? See, we're taking it deeper, you guys. Okay. And if he says, well, that's way more money than everybody else, then I just go, well, I put it back on them. I just say, well, yeah, I understand that. So what would you like to do next? And I've literally had people say, I think you should go get screwed and pound sand. And other people are like, well, can you just type it up anyway? Because we want to compare apples to apples and blah, blah. I'm like, yeah, I'd be happy to do that. We have a $500 consultation fee for, you know, putting that together for you.
Technically. Yeah. You just touched on something that you glossed over it like it was nothing, but the digging deeper. Was it Marcus says it takes Marcus Sheridan three questions to get to the root of an answer? And you just did that with just kind of like one little rebuttal, came back again. And that's that uncomfortable situation that we always preach about going comfortable. I had to train myself to, if it comes in my head, you know me, Tom, it's like, if it comes in my head, I just say it for better or worse at this point. And in a sales situation, it just clears the air of the bullshit. And no matter how well trained you are, it's like, I still get those, I think they're human reactions, but these guys are all kind of posting out there, but you just have to have systems in place that push you through the envelope there and get you to the other side.
All right. I got some live questions that have come in here. I want to start with this one, Brandon. And I don't know if it's the same Brandon that I answered the question a few earlier on. Let me see. Nope. Different Brandon. Spelled differently. He says, we were talking about pre-qualifying in the sales process and all those sales questions and stuff. And he says, just want to be honest. I worry that I will lose business I could have gotten by doing things this way. How have you helped other people overcome that mentality?
What's the...
You know, taking control through the shinfu, pre-qualifying, not writing up bids and leaving bids like everybody else and all these other things. Yeah.
You will lose business. Yeah, honestly, but you'll lose the business you don't want. Mm-hmm. And that's what it boils down to. And it's just a matter of it's just like your marketing. If you're doing shotgun marketing, you're going to have just a bunch of randos that aren't maybe your ideal customer or whatever. But if you find people that value the process, people like order, they like knowing what's going on, the next step. And the whole point of at least our Shinfu sales process is just being completely transparent, addressing the elephant in the room, all the unknowns that people freak out about and why they get multiple quotes because they don't know what's actually happening. It resolves that. So what you're going to find you're doing is that you're going to be collecting just the customers you want and turning away, which is the whole point of it. It's a pre-qualifying process. Get rid of the people that are wasting your time.
Yep. You know, where I went when I saw this is why I think, you know, how you start your day, what you feed your mind and things like that are such a key, you know, how we've helped people overcome that mentality. Brandon, most of the things that we coach on in the fight, well, shit, everything starts in the brain, man. Like I would say 80%, 90% of what we coach and teach and work with people on is how you think and how you approach things and how to reframe and how to tell yourself a different story. And the last 10, 15, 20% of the success is just the math and the execution, right? So I would start with just making sure, you know, I have a journal I write down shit every morning in, and I, you know, have my affirmations and my code of conduct for myself, how I'm going to show up each day. And that really helps program me in the right way. Yeah. But then you have to act. See, and that's the other thing. You can't just feed your mind this stuff. You have to take action. So if you're going to tell yourself an affirmation like, hey, I'm a magnet for money and success. I'm worth the money that I'm charging and all this other stuff. And I deserve to be respected, not run around town being everyone's estimating bitch or whatever it is. Like, you have to back it up and actually do that thing, because that's where your confidence is going to grow. You're going to build momentum. You're going to see that it works. And we've seen so many people through the years take control of the sales process like this. And in the beginning, it's really hard. And then they get into it for a while. They're like, oh my God, I've saved so much time running around. And so, Brandon, I think you just got to take some action. And then I guess the last thing that outside of the mindset here is, I don't know what your brand looks like. You know, when you have a content-rich website that's educating people, when you look the part, you know, people are making judgments about you and your business and the way you communicate and commas and capitals. I swear to God, I'm picking on this grammar shit, but it's true, guys. Everything you do and everything you don't do builds your brand. It sends a message. It tells a story. And so some of you are struggling with this whole pre-qualify Shinfu thing that we teach, quite honestly, because you don't know how to spell, you don't communicate well, you don't call people back. You don't have somebody answering the phone. Somebody fills out a form on your website. You don't see it for 3 months, you know, or whatever it is. And all these things remove trust from the sales process. And so when you say, hey, send me a picture and we're going to have a conversation on the phone, and they're going, well, everybody else is going out there giving me a bid, you're the idiot now. But when you have all these other things dialed in and have your shit together, good stuff happens.
So. Yeah, like for Brandon's biggest thing, it's like, right, we've seen it, Tom, right? It's the general pricing is where people get screwed up, like quoting prices, and they feel like they don't have the confidence, they don't have freaking all these site visits and all this crap under your belt. And if you know your numbers, like you say, the math doesn't lie on what to charge. It's like, if you know your production rates, you can give prices confidently. Homeowners go along, but they can smell if you're not confident on the price you're throwing to them a mile away. Mm-hmm. And so part of it, it is all just the mindset is the hardest part for us. Like some of that Stuart Smalley shit that people laugh at. It makes sense. You know, like you got to feed your mind. And it's, I do the same thing with that. The code and everything. And so I start my day, end with it. And then whenever I'm just kind of getting derailed during the course of it. And it's all shit that's in my head. It's been in my head for years. But until after Houston, when you beat it into me, it's like I didn't have it in front of me. And so it just gives me some very clear lane to operate in and keeps me on point when I'm dealing with people.
Yeah. All right, I'm going to jump into the Facebook group and end with these three questions here that came in earlier. So Rick asked, what would be the best advertising company to push my website? Rick, I think that you need to talk to some people that actually work with contractors and actually can provide data like analytics of how they increase their site visits, and not just their site visits, but their conversions. I'm not a web guru or anything like that. We certainly have relationships and things like that with marketing agencies, but I'm more wanting you to do the legwork and talk to somebody that you feel comfortable working with. And here's what I mean by the analytic part. I guess this would be my biggest thing. The best web company, I'll just say website company or advertising company, the way you asked it here, is going to first identify what your issue is. Meaning, I remember many, many years ago, I was like, yeah, I'm not getting any leads online for my website, blah, blah, blah. And as a buddy of mine, and he taught me this, he had a marketing company and he turned things around for my company at the time. And it was great. He, long story short, it was like 15 years ago. He says, well, let's figure out what kind of problem do you have? And I said, well, what do you mean? He says, well, by the analytics, Google Analytics and stuff, we'll be able to identify, do you have a traffic problem? Meaning, are people finding your site? Okay. That's the number one thing. As if you don't get a lead from your website, then you got to go, okay, why are we not getting leads? And a lot of times it's a traffic issue that your site wasn't built right. The framework wasn't built properly. The title pages and all the tags and all the voodoo behind the scenes that I don't understand, that could be jacked up. And because organically, you could create a lot of good content with some good images and things like that and visually pleasing website, and it'll get found if it's built properly. Mm-hmm. So that's problem one. So let's assume that it's built properly, okay, to be found by Google. So you go into your analytics and you're like, yeah, my site's getting a lot of visits. Okay. But then you got to look at what are the exit pages? Where are they leaving? What's the time on site and all those things? If you have low time on site, other than your contact page, okay, because a lot of times people go to your website to find your contact page and they hit your phone number, right? So, but in general, you want to go, all right, if I'm getting all this traffic and it's not converting to leads, then there's an issue. Maybe the site isn't visually appealing. Maybe the content, we see this a lot. People will want to know what something costs or this and that, but you won't answer it on your website. So they'll bail out and go to another site. So it's either a traffic issue or a conversion issue for getting people to fill shit out on your site. So Rick, that I would just have those conversations with some of these companies. I'm personally, and I know this goes all over the place, like, I don't want to say ads don't work. Ads work. Okay. But ads don't work if you got a shitty site. Okay. If you're paying Google to run an ad and then they click the ad and they go to the ghetto, that's a problem. Don't pay money to send people to the ghetto website that you got. All right. And that's a phrase one of my old marketing buddies taught me. He's like, you know, guys don't succeed with ads because their website sucks. It's not the ad. Okay. So anyway, I just wanted to cover that quick.
Yeah, it goes on to what Marcus Sheridan also said, that 80% of customers have done their research before they pick up the phone to call you. So they may be seeing your website. It just may be a turd that they don't want to continue from that point.
Yep. All right. Second question from Carson here. This is a quick answer, man. I read this and literally I got to the end and I was like, easy. Okay. When it comes to building your brand, what is the number one thing you can do? Not website, marketing, et cetera, but when it comes to your appearance, your vehicle, et cetera, what's the most effective and important part of brand building? All right, Carson, here's the deal. Your brand is the story that is told when people see you or think of you, okay? So the number one thing you could do to build your brand is to build your personal brand, to be somebody that is known for something, that is, whether you have the money to build a big site and wrap trucks and all, you still have a brand. How are you presenting yourself? Pay attention to those little details. You know, use capital letters and commas and things like that. That's a theme here today, right? You know, and really be intentional about the story you want to tell about you and your company. All right. This is not the business is separate from me thing. You're not Google. You're not freaking GM. Okay, you're a local contractor. Every one of you on here are smaller, you're small businesses. I don't care if you do 10 million a year, 20 million a year, you're still a small business. Okay, so it is truly about you. So build your personal brand, be that person that, like, you guys are here in the fight, and many of you have found me years ago and found the fight years ago and all this other stuff. All right, because of the content that I put out and the way I come across. Okay, I come across very direct. That's my brand. I call you guys out on stuff. That's my brand. Now, you're not going to be yelling and screaming at your homeowners and things like that in your marketing. Hopefully not. Okay. But I know my audience and I understand the pain points and those things. And so even before we had all the back end stuff that the fight has now, doing multi-millions a year and all this other stuff, it was Tom and a damn microphone, and it was Tom and a little video camera showing up consistently every day. So that's the number one thing you build your brand. How about you?
You covered that one. I think that lays it out.
All right. Last question from this Facebook group. Seth wants to know, what time is the right time to cut the cord and go full time? You know, this one, I can make the case for both things that I'm about to say. Some would say, you know, when you got X amount of months of your bills and all that saved up in the bank and blah, 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 so that, you know, you can start your business from a position of strength and not desperation. Because a lot of us, when we start, I did this. I started my business, had no money. I literally think I had $400 or $500 started my business. But the reason it worked for me is that I had a hustle attitude. I had a hunter mindset. A lot of you guys that go and start your business and want to go full time, you start out, you have a couple jobs to do because of friends and people at church and all this other garbage that want to support you. And then once you burn through that in a month or two or three, you're left standing there with nothing because you haven't built the habit of building your brand and marketing your business. You don't understand that's your job. So Seth, you know, I can't say that there is one right answer. And I'm also the type where I don't do multiple things very well. So I need to burn the boats, right? And cut the cord and just go, I'm going to sink or swim on this thing. So that's always been my mindset, but it's because I believe it's more of who I am. Is I'm an all-in guy no matter what I do. And I don't want to say, like, if you were to cut the cord and go full-time, you're not all in, you know, doing the work. Most contractors are all in doing the work, right, Dan? But they're not all in when it comes to being a business person, learning how to sell, learning how to market, and then actually doing those things. So I just, my answer to Seth is it depends. How about you? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, no, it's like you just have to commit to the hard stuff. And that's where I think most contractors get tripped up. Like, they love the craft. They love the trade. They love being one of the boys on the job site, all of this stuff. And it's that saying, like, it's lonely at the top. It's not because, like, nobody comes with you. It's because you're doing shit like KPIs on your spreadsheet in your office, but that's what moves the needle. So it's just, you have to just kind of do that transition. Like, do I want to be a tradesman or do I want to own a business in the trades? And it's, you can't have your foot like in two boats, like you say. Just got to pick your lane and go for it.
Good stuff. Well, dude, it was good hanging here. I know we got to get rolling. Guys, if we didn't get your question, sorry, we're out of time here in a minute. You can copy and paste your question and email it to help@thecontractorfight.com. You know, get it to us there and we'll address it down the road. Super appreciate you guys hanging out with us here today. We'll be doing another one of these here probably in the next couple weeks to kind of wrap up the year and stuff like that. Guys, do this hard stuff. Like Dan said, you know, get your mind right, take the positive actions, And listen, go to the Contractor Fight podcast and listen to Monday, December 6th episode on Monday Mojo. I talk about finishing the year. Mm. It's only like 4 minutes long, but I think that there's some good stuff in there for you guys. Guys, do not tap out the year right now. So many people are tapping out. So many people are going, oh, I'm going to coast through the next 3 weeks of the year. All right. This is the time to step on the gas, run through the finish line. All right. Play through the whistle, not at the start of the whistle, play through the echo of the whistle. All right. So with that, appreciate y'all. Give us a review on iTunes and wherever you're listening to our podcast and all that good stuff. Dan, thanks for being here.
Yep. Good times.
All right. You guys rock. We got to roll. We'll see you. Hey, fighters, hopefully you got some value today from the Q&A episode and that you learned something that you can apply in your business. If you have a question, send an email to help@thecontractorfight.com and in the subject line, put the word podcast and we will get that question. We'll answer it on air for you. And also, don't forget to share this with another contractor. Give us a review on iTunes, wherever you listen to this. Super appreciate you hanging out with us here today. You guys rock. We got to roll. We're out.